Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Our first guest in hour two, Tom Walsh, columnist with the Detroit Free Press. Hello, Tom.
Jack, how are you?
Just fine. Well, I am reading your piece today. Michigan leads U.S. in new jobs with 27,800. And as we say that, I know people are driving off the road. I would think that for a lot of people, this would be extremely surprising. But as you cite here, who knows? This could be a fluke, but maybe not. It could be part of a trend, and we may have lost Tom here for a moment. We'll have to try to get him back. He was just here a second ago, and that's what happens sometimes with these phone interviews. But I'm looking at some of the numbers in the piece that Tom did, and I find it truly amazing, some of the statistics here. You would never get this from any of the information that you're hearing on a daily basis about Michigan and how bad things are. And how desperate we are in this state. I'm not saying things are good by any stretch of the imagination, but who knows? You have to start somewhere, and I would think a job growth of 27,800 is a pretty positive sign. Tom, are you back with us?
I am. Sorry, I don't usually drop many calls, but hopefully we'll stick around.
Well, I'm looking at these numbers, and if you add the second and third states that have had job growth in July, add them together, they don't match the job growth in Michigan with 27,800 new jobs.
Yeah, and who'd have thunk it, huh?
I wouldn't. Certainly don't hear that very often.
No, it's it's so counterintuitive that I asked the same question anybody else would ask when I saw the analyst's blog on it. I said, is this a blip? Is this a fluke? 1 month fluke? Because a lot of times you get an anomaly in the numbers. And he said, well, maybe, but Michigan's actually had three net increases in the last 4 months, which we haven't had in quite a while. And maybe this is a turn. Maybe this is an inflection point and the bottom. And after I wrote the column today, the Dow went up 250 points today. So
probably because of your column.
Maybe they figured if Michigan's adding jobs, everything must be coming back.
Tom, where are we on a year-long basis? Is it possible with big August, September, October, November, December, 5 months to go, that Michigan could show year-long growth for the first time since 2000?
It is possible, and I guess we're tracking that way. Now, every day, if you look at the headlines on some of the sites, like, you name it, Yahoo Finance or anything else, you'll see a list of 10 headlines, and five of them will be doomsday headlines saying, oh, we're going back to another Great Depression, and five of them will be, somewhat hopeful signs. So it's still a very skittish market full of all kinds of conflicting signals. So we don't know, but yes, this could be the first year in a decade that we have more people employed than we had a year ago. And it's still not a reason for, party time and champagne when we got 13% unemployment, but you got to start somewhere.
James Holman, fiscal policy analyst with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, a gentleman you spoke with, correct?
Right.
And when the Mackinac Center is talking about the private sector growing again and things being good in Michigan, I don't think that this is someone who is out just trying to blindly defend the state. This is someone who has business interests at heart, and they're obviously interpreting the numbers accordingly.
Exactly. I mean, the Mackinac Center has been very critical, even through Republican administrations, but certainly during Democratic ones, of the state's economic and taxation policies. They tend to be very free market oriented and pretty conservative. So they've been, most of their reports kind of beat up on the state government and the legislature for bad economic practices. and they blame them for Michigan's tough times. Now, Holman is quick to point out that he's not a political guy. He's a data guy, and he just saw an interesting, you know, sort of turn in the data, and he wanted to point that out. So good for him. I think it's interesting data. The July data was led by manufacturing. The manufacturing jobs were plus 20,000 in the month, and that makes some sense because the auto companies, which a year earlier were in bankruptcy, if you might recall,
right.
This summer they actually kept the plants open during some of their normal shutdowns because they were trying to rebuild inventory because sales, even though they're not great, they are climbing back steadily. So that's a good sign, and we've seen growth in business services as well. So hopefully, I mean, there are some companies out there hiring. Obviously, it's still not easy to find a job
right.
if you're out there looking, but you know, we like to see a little bit of hope on the horizon.
Tom, we're not drinking the Kool-Aid here. We're just looking at the numbers that have been provided and provided by the Mackinac Center for Public Policy of all
And they're
places.
Using the federal numbers. I mean, they're the real rational data. And again, this is not, you know, we're still the second highest unemployment rate in the country. And we still got to go almost a full percentage point to get into 48th place. So, because California's, you know, in the 12s somewhere. So
but I guess you can look at those numbers a couple of different ways. You can say, yeah, it's the second highest unemployment behind Nevada. But I also look at the unemployment dropping here from 14.2% to 13.1% in the course of a year. That's 1.1%. And only two states had greater drops than that. Minnesota, 1.5%. North Carolina, 1.2%.
Exactly. So that's good. A lot of states have had small increases or decreases one way or the other, but at least the numbers are moving the right way. And while a lot of people say this is as bad as they can remember in their lifetimes, the recession of 1980 to 1982 was very severe here, and our unemployment rate got to almost 17% in Michigan back then. So, James Holman, when I said to him yesterday, I said, "So is this an anomaly?" He said, "Well, somebody back in '83 probably thought it was an anomaly when the numbers finally started to turn up, and you know, at some point they have to turn."
Right. I guess I would look at these numbers and I would say that, yeah, there's a lot of room for improvement, no question about that. But no one expected Michigan was suddenly going to have 7% unemployment. But it has to start somewhere with some momentum and with a vision. And you have to say that Michigan looks a little bit better than it did a year ago.
Well, absolutely. I mean, who would have guessed? I mean, for all of the problems that the car industry still has, a year ago, we really, a lot of people were deeply skeptical whether General Motors and Chrysler would ever get out of bankruptcy court. And now they're, you know, GM made, you know, has made a couple billion dollars of profit. Chrysler is, you know, around break even, and they're still here, a lot smaller and leaner, but they're still here, and that's good. So, you know, let's go from here. And I've always kind of thought that we really wouldn't see any kind of a turnaround in Michigan until the auto industry stabilized at some level, however low that would be, because, you know, you got small companies creating jobs, you know, 5 or 10 or 15 people at a time.
Right.
When the big auto companies were flushing them out the door 30,000 at a clip, there was no way you could sort of keep up with that kind of job loss. So until we saw that number in the auto sector stabilize somewhere, we couldn't really head back up.
And I think a lot of people lose track. They look at what happens with the auto companies. They forget all the suppliers, all the related industries, all the people in the state of Michigan who are auto dependent, but maybe not working for one of the auto companies.
Right. And in an economic sort of meltdown like we had in 2008-09, you know, that scares the pants off everybody. So it's not just autos, but companies
right.
that rely on companies reinvesting in their business. Like, okay, we're going to do new offices and new office furniture. So Steel Case and Herman Miller and Hayworth out in the west side of Michigan, they all get hammered when businesses stop investing. Same thing with computer systems people like CompuWare. So so it's not just an automotive thing. It's, you know, everybody, all businesses kind of getting their confidence and sea legs back, and hopefully that'll start to build from here.
Well, and I'm sure you remember what this was like when it was all doom and gloom, and there was a lot of talk that the auto companies could go under, and the bridge loan came in, and there was a lot of discussion, especially from other parts of the country, that they should just let them go, that Michigan had created its own problem and would be forced to deal with it, shouldn't get federal help. And I wonder what kind of numbers we'd be looking at right now if we hadn't had that.
It would have been pretty awful in Michigan, but it would have really, I think it would have deepened the nation's problems, too, if they didn't step in. And you know, you don't have to be pro or anti Democrat or Republican or Obama or not to kind of recognize that with the, you know, with the auto bailout, they did a heck of a job. I mean, not only did they save the company, I mean, it was President Bush that actually gave the first dollop of money that said, okay, we can't let these companies just slip into a totally disorganized bankruptcy.
Right.
But they didn't let them, you know, they didn't just keep throwing money at them and say business as usual. They made everybody, you know, take a haircut. You know, the bondholders, the union, everybody had to kind of come and make some big sacrifices at the altar. And they came out of it leaner and more efficient companies. And so far, so good. They're, you know, the story's not over, obviously, and it's too early to declare victory. But I think, you know, of all the things that have happened economically in the year, this is one where they have some bragging rights at having done it right.
Well, and I think you make a very good point. This is not a partisan Republican or Democrat issue, and George W. Bush does deserve considerable credit for this, standing in the face of his party and those who said, just let Michigan drown and become part of Lake Huron. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Tom, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Tom Walsh, Detroit Free Press columnist. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about the Big Ten divisional alignment. We'll be announced at 7 o'clock. We're going to talk with Tom Crawford and then George Perlis about this coming up next on Ebling and You.